Good morning, church. Glad you made the right decision to get here today. You could have stayed in bed, you know. It's kind of hard for me to get out of bed after about 4 hours of sleep, but hey, praise God, you're here. I'm glad to be here with you, and guess what? Every time I think about this story we're getting ready to hit up on, I get pretty pumped. So I'm hoping you get pumped today, too. And as you get pumped, I hope it pushes you forward in the right direction to do what God has called you and me to do. Amen? Let's pray. God, help us to be hungry and thirsty for your word today. And if we're not, make us hungry and thirsty. Lord, we pray for Pastor Clint. We pray for supernatural healing for him. Lord, I pray that you'll speak to these people here before me. And God, that you'll receive all the glory and honor that anything that's accomplished. We pray in your most precious name, the name of Jesus Christ, the one who died, bled, and suffered for all of us. Amen. Kind of hard to come up with a title for this sermon, but, you know, delivered, set free, rescued. Anybody been rescued? Anybody been set free? You ever been saved? A few people in here have been saved. Maybe we need to have some more people get saved today. I don't know, but that's what we pray for. We pray for souls to be saved, right? So I just basically titled this Rescued by Jesus. We're going to be looking at Mark chapter 5, 1 through 20. And my main points are really kind of near the end, okay? So fasten your seatbelt, pay attention. I'll try to keep you awake if you're falling asleep. And I'm going to hammer this point down to you, and hopefully it brings you some conviction, but hopefully it brings you some motivation. And you'll see here in a minute what I'm talking about, all right? If you're in your Bibles here, Mark chapter 5. If you're not there, go ahead and say amen. Okay, I heard no amens. You're all there then. Praise the Lord. Mark chapter 5. We're going to be reading through, and we're just going to kind of be making a few comments here till we get to the end and sharing some other scriptures and let God speak to us. Amen. I don't want you guys to hear from me. I want you to hear from the Almighty God. In verse 1, it says, "And they came over into the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes," however you pronounce that word. Verse 2, "And when he was come out of the ship," speaking about Jesus here, "immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit." Don't look at your neighbor now, okay? "Who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. Because he had been often bound, or frequently with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces." What? "Neither could any man tame him." This is a demon-possessed man here. And I was trying to figure out what type of force here on these chains that he was breaking in pieces. But I basically got anywhere from 1,000 pounds to 200,000 pounds. That's their great force, okay, that a natural man would not be able to break out of. But this guy often break out of chains. Nobody could contain this guy. He was a wild man. He was a demon-possessed man. Anybody seen a demon-possessed person? Anybody? I've seen a few. Yeah. In verse 5, he says, "In always, night and day, he was in the mountains, in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones." It sounds kind of like some modern-day stuff to me. You know, what do evil forces do to get people to do type of this stuff like this, man? Cutting themselves, hurting themselves, has to be satanic, right? Verse 6, "But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran," and what does it say? "Worshipped him." A demon-possessed man, Chris, is running to Jesus and is not worshiping him? What's going on, man? What is going on? "And he cried with a loud voice and said, 'What have I to do with thee, Jesus, Thou Son of the Most High God?' I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. Interesting. These demons, hey, you're Jesus, the Son of the Most High God, Elyon, which is the Most High God. And he says, hey, don't torment me yet. Satan and the demons, you know what? They know that their time of torment's coming. In hell, right? Pastor Clint, he always talked about, hey, hell's not created for you. It's created for Satan and his demons. But if you reject his perfect sacrifice, that's where your soul will go. It's a place called hell. Place of weeping and gnashing of teeth, burning, of suffering forever and ever. It's a place I can't even hardly think about. It hurts my mind. Verse 8, for he said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, what is thy name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. And if you look at the commentaries, Legion is anywhere from like 3,000 to 6,000. So you got like a whole host of demons possessing one man. Hey, my name's Legion, and so... That reminds me of Ephesians 6. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. You know how many demons followed Satan? About a third. That's a lot. 33%. All right, back to Mark chapter 5, verse 10. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Like, hey, let me keep doing my evil in this place, Jesus. Let me keep doing all the evil things I'm doing right here. Don't send me away. Verse 11. Now there was nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding 2,000 pigs. And all the devils besought him, saying, send us into the swine or the pigs that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. He gave them permission, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. There were about 2,000 of them, and they were choked in the sea. All I can think of is, man, that's a lot of bacon, dude. That's a lot of bacon wasted, man. 2,000 pigs? I've never seen 2,000 pigs. I've seen maybe 50, 100, whatever else, right? And, you know, I used to have a pet pig. Okay, you can laugh at me now, all right? This is time to laugh at the preacher. I had a pet pig. Brittany can testify to this. And I trained that pig, and I trained it better than a dog, and it could run backwards and forwards on its teeth and whatever. But when this pig would get upset, it would scream. And I'm talking high pitch. And it would hurt your ears, right? And when I'm trying to train this pig for about 8 hours to go on a leash, it's screaming high pitch in my neighborhood, and I'm thinking, man, who do they think I'm trying to kill here? But I can only imagine from knowing what one pig sounds like, what would 2,000 pigs sound like? Squealing. They now have been possessed with this legion, these demons. Imagine the screech of those 2,000 pigs running down into the ocean or the water, and being drowned and killed. It had to have been a sight. Verse 14, and they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city. I mean, I think I'd flee too, you know? And in the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. Hey, man, your 2,000 pigs just like ran off into the water? There ain't no way, man. Ain't no way. Now, sheep, I can imagine that, but I can't imagine these pigs. And they come to Jesus, verse 15, and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion, What does it say next? Sitting and clothed and in his right mind. He was controlled by this legion, by these thousands of demons. He was a wild man. He couldn't control himself. Nobody could control him. He was going through the tombs. He was a crazy person. Everybody knew it. Who knows how many years was going on like this? But he was desperate for some deliverance. He was desperate for some rescue. And Jesus came to his rescue. Praise be unto God. He says, this is after Jesus cast out this legion. He's sitting there, he's clothed, and he's in his right mind. But then the people, it says, they were all afraid. Maybe they're afraid that, hey, Jesus is going to put some demons into our animals too. Man, our livestock's going to be gone. You know, before he was naked, and I was thinking how I could illustrate this, but then I said to myself, I can't do this in this place. I don't want to get arrested or put in prison myself. So we're not going to illustrate him being naked, but he was healed. He was sitting there. He was clothed. How was he clothed? Well, his disciples probably gave him some of their clothes. The Greek word here for talk about afraid here is phobia. Have you heard of a phobia, right? I'm afraid of something. It means fear or afraid. That's where we get the word phobia. Anybody around, man, and if they were in their right mind, they'd be like, wow, this is amazing. This guy that was demon-possessed, it's a miracle. I can't believe my eyes. How is this possible? You haven't figured out, though, Jesus isn't the miracle-working business. Not just in Bible times, but right now. Every day, every minute, every hour, he never rests. You and me need rest, but he never rests. And he's constantly doing miracles around us. Praise God. And it says, verse 16, they that saw it told them how it befell to them that was possessed with the devil and also concerning his wine. Basically, they're telling, hey, this is what happened. This is what happened. And now it starts to get interesting in verse 17. And they began to pray or plead with him, with Jesus, to depart out of their coast. This is a man that just did a miracle, Jesus Christ, the God-man, okay? The one that died for your sins, the one that died for my sins, the one that died for the sins of the whole world. And they're now asking him, pleading with him, hey, we want you to leave our presence. We want you to get out of our area. Imagine the miracles that Jesus could have done if he stayed there. Now, this is an area of Gentile people. This is not Jewish people. This is the Gentiles, people like you and me. And I'm like, hey, you got to go. How sad it was that these people cared more about their bacon, their money, their livelihood, if you will, than this man that was just delivered and saved from this demonic legion of group of demons. They were more concerned about their stuff. Wow. God forbid that be us. That we are more concerned about our material possessions, the things that we have, than about the next door soul that is right there in front of us, the soul that's right there at work, or the soul that's at the grocery store, the soul that's all around us, right? Bible says in Matthew 6:24, you can't serve God. Y'all know this one? Y'all quiet now. God and what? Money. Can't serve God of money. You know, these people, they had their mind on earthly things. Earthly things. A man they'd probably known for years, suffered with demon possession, has just been delivered, but they want Jesus to leave. This might have been someone's brother, might have been their uncle, might have been whatever. I don't know the relation, but friend, but hey, we need you to leave, Jesus. When your mind gets off God and your focus is on money, look at the foolish things that people do. What do? They kill each other. They steal from each other. They rob from each other. They rob from the government on their taxes. Hopefully I didn't step on your toes now, right? They do all sorts of manner of evil just to try to get some more, make my life a little bit more comfortable. God knows what we need, does he not? He does. I like what Matthew 6 says. It says in verse 19, lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Question, where's your heart at? I'll ask it again. Where's your heart at? I don't know, but guess what? God knows. And you might be able to fool me, you might be able to fool Pastor Clint, you might be able to fool your husband or wife, but you can't fool God. 100%. No, for a fact. All right, back to Mark chapter 5, verse 18. When he was coming to the ship, he had been possessed with the devil, prayed him that he might be with him. The guy that has demon possessed was coming to Jesus and said, Jesus, let me go with you. Because Jesus, he says, okay, you don't want me here. Well, guess what? I'm going to leave. Jesus didn't force himself on anybody, did he? Naturally, I would want to be with Jesus if he had just delivered me from this legion of demons. Naturally speaking, if God has delivered you from your sin, naturally speaking, you should want to be with Jesus, ain't right? A few people are amening. That's good. The rest of y'all, I don't know, we're going to have to pray for you. Verse 19. This is King James, so bear with me here a little bit. Albeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him. He's like, hey, man, no, you can't go with me. He says, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. Now we're starting to get to the point where I want you to see, all right? He says, hey, you can't come with me. Jesus gives him work to do. He says, hey, I've healed you, and now I've delivered you. I've set you free, and now go home and tell your friends and your family. You got work to do there. You can't come with me here. You got work to do over there. So Jesus gives him work to do. And finally, in verse 20, and he departed. Instant obedience. That's what God wants from you and me. He wants instant obedience. Not like, hey, God, I'll think about it. Or maybe one day. Or maybe when I get. No, God wants. Look at your neighbor and say, instant obedience. Some of you obeyed that. Some of you didn't. So some of you still need to get instant obedience, okay? And he began to publish in Decapolis, this is 10 cities, how great things Jesus had done for him. Was it miraculous? Of course. Well, let me put it for you. When you get saved from your sins and Jesus saved you, is that miraculous? If it is miraculous, like this guy, you're probably going to tell somebody about it, right? Okay, you lost me now. No, this is not where you need to be lost. This is where you need to pay attention, okay? It says in Ephesians 2:10, "For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God has prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." This is coming directly after Ephesians 2:8-9, which says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." I can't boast and say, "Hey, look how great I am." I only boast in my Savior, Jesus Christ. Hey, he's already done. He already paid the price with his blood, his precious, perfect sacrifice of his perfect blood. And now I get to tell everybody what he's done for me. So there's 3 points I want you to understand from this. This man was, first of all, he was delivered and set free. If you've been delivered, go ahead and tell your neighbor, "I've been delivered." Some of you have been delivered. For the other ones you haven't, we're going to pray for you. Today's going to be your day of salvation. Amen. Number two, this guy was given a message, or not a message, he was given a mission. He says, "Hey, go tell these people over here." And third of all, he was obedient immediately. He didn't delay. He didn't say, "Hey, let me go home and do this, this, and this, and let me do this, and this, and this, and let me go work a job first and make money, this, and this." He said, he went immediately. Wow. Could that the same be said for you? Have you been delivered from your sin? Have you been given a mission by Almighty God? And are you being obedient to the mission that God has given you? Or maybe are you being disobedient? God knows, right? So to try to wrap this thing all together for you here, this man was blessed by Jesus, was he not? He was instantly healed. He was delivered of this Satan here, these demons. So a few questions for you to ponder. Number one, are you a blessed person? Everybody wants to be blessed, right? The thing is, not everybody wants to do what's required to be a blessed person. Second question, where does the blessing come from? That's easy, right? Blessing comes from God. Every good and perfect gift comes from him. Number three, have you been blessed with eternal life? If not, today is the day of salvation. And number four, hopefully this is going to step on a few toes, are you sharing the blessing? Because guess what? Blessed people, they share the blessing. People have been delivered from their sin. They share the message, right? You can't save them, but Jesus can, and they need to hear, right? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, right? Romans 10, verse 17. Who are you going to share the blessing with? Not tomorrow, today. There's a song that says, "Tomorrow. Tomorrow." You heard that one? "I'll give my life tomorrow." I thought about it today. And it keeps on going. I don't remember the words, so you can look that one up later. If you're not sharing the blessing, can you truly say you have been blessed? Now I'm stepping on some toes, right? Stepping on my own toes. If you've been blessed with eternal life through Jesus Christ, then share Jesus Christ today and tomorrow and every day of your life. That's what God wants for you. That's what God wants for me. Guess what? It costs you nothing, but it costs them everything if you do not share. True blessing is sharing the blessing. True blessing is sharing Jesus Christ. And how often do we do that? Hopefully we do it every day, but unfortunately there's some statistics that say that about 3% of the church witnessed yesterday. No, it doesn't say yesterday. It says 3% of the church has ever witnessed to anybody in their entire life. That statistic hurts my heart. God forbid that that be statistic of Town Creek Baptist Church. So I want to encourage you today. Examine yourself. Where are you at? Have you been blessed? Have you been forgiven? Have you been set free? And if you have, then guess what? You can't help but share the message. Ask yourself, am I being obedient to Jesus Christ today? Am I delivering the message of salvation to those who desperately need to hear it? Because guess what? There's a lot of people out there that are demon-possessed. There's a lot of people out there that are slaves to their sin. But praise be to God, once he gets a hold of your heart, you're no longer a slave to sin. You're now a slave to righteousness. And hey, I get to do what God wants me to do, and God wants me to share the blessing. And I can't help but share the blessing. And I'm going to share the blessing. And it's going to step on people's toes. And it's going to make people upset. But I'm going to share the blessing because this is what Jesus did for me. He delivered me from these demons. If I believe if Jesus Christ has truly saved you, delivered you, you're going to deliver the message of Jesus Christ. Amen? I tell people all the time, don't be a Titus 1:16 Christian. They profess that they know God, but in works, they deny him. Everything that they do, they deny Jesus Christ. Hey, I love God. Hey, I'm a Christian. Then how come you're not telling people the message? How come you're not telling people the message of deliverance? How come you're not pointing people to Jesus? How come you're living just like everybody else? How come you're still a slave to your sin? Maybe you haven't been delivered yet. And if that's you, guess what? Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day for you to get your heart right, for you to repent of all your sins, and let Christ come into your life and to save you. And miraculously, he will do that. So to conclude here, wrap this thing up. Have you been delivered from the evil one? If not, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to make sure that your heart is right, that you can get your sins forgiven. Jesus Christ died on a cross, not so that you can keep sinning, not to give you a license to keep sinning, but he died so that you now have the power through Jesus Christ to say no to sin. He always provides a way of escape, he says. We don't always take the way of escape, do we? Sometimes we get distracted, detoured, off course, wherever you want to say. You know what? People all around us, they're desperately needing to hear about Jesus, are they not? How many people do we walk past in a day and we have no concern for them? We have no thinking about them or their salvation or their soul or anything, and we just keep going about our business, and then we go to church and then we leave and we go do this and this and that, and maybe we do some good things, but we're neglecting sometimes sharing the blessing. God didn't create us to hog the blessing for ourselves, hog our salvation to ourselves. He meant for us to give away the message, to spread it. And that's what this guy did right here. And I truly believe that he wants for each person in this place and for myself. Amen? John 8:36 says this, "So if the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed." This guy was set free. He was clothed. He was no longer naked. He was sitting, no longer running around like a wild man in the tombs. and he was in his right mind. I'm here to tell you, if you've been delivered and you're sitting here and you're in your right mind, God has given you good work to do, which he's prepared in advance, Ephesians 2:10. I don't know about you, but I get real, real excited. I'm about to jump off this platform here. You might not see it, but it's about to happen, okay? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. How are they going to hear without a preacher, right? God doesn't call just preachers to share the message. He calls ordinary people, Christians, people that have been delivered. Because now when you're delivered, you now have a testimony to share, hey, this is what Jesus Christ did for me. And if you're not sharing, you have to ask yourself, hey, do I really even have a testimony of what Christ has done for me? Or maybe I'm just kind of faking it here. Or maybe I just need to get my heart right and repent of being disobedient to what God has for me. As Jesus said, go, tell them the great things that I've done for you. I can't even count the number of good things God's done for me. He's had his mercy on me. He's forgiven me. He's healed me. He's provided for me. He's delivered my soul from hell. And guess what? I can't help but tell other people about it. And the times where I don't tell people about it, well, guess what? I'm in some sin. And when I'm in some sin, guess what I got to do? I got to get on my knee, and I got to repent of my sin. I'm looking at a lot of people in here, and if the statistics is true, 3%, that means a lot of people have not shared Jesus Christ. The good news, if you hadn't shared Jesus Christ, you call yourself a Christian, you say you've been delivered, this and that, well, guess what? Maybe you've just been disobedient. Maybe God wants you to come to this altar today to drop a knee and say, God, forgive me for not sharing the blessing. Forgive me for not sharing Jesus Christ. Forgive me for not doing as I ought to do, for being a disobedient child. Hebrews 12, it says, whom the Lord loves, he chastens. He says, if you're out chastening, then you're an illegitimate child. You're not even God's child in the first place. God forbid that we neglect to do the greatest thing and share Jesus Christ. Guess what? Delivered people deliver the message. Delivered people step down, step out, and start delivering the message. I can't help but get happy about this. I have to start spreading the message. This is what Jesus Christ did for me. And so I'm going to touch this guy and tell him, hey, this is what Jesus did for me. And he can do the same for you. And then I'm going to go tell another. Then I'm going to go over here. I'm going to go wherever God leads me by his Spirit. As I've been delivered. And I'm going to tell the message of deliverance to everybody. Because praise God, I've been delivered. I've been delivered from hell, from Satan, and my sin. Amen? I don't know where you're at today. I pray God spoke to you. This altar is open. You need to get your heart right. You need to repent of your sins. You need to get saved. It's open for you. You're a Christian. You're yet to deliver the message. Well, guess what? What better day than right now? Right now. Come forward. Commit to the Lord and say, hey, I'm going to start delivering the message because I've been delivered. I've been delivered. There's people everywhere around this place, not just in 10 cities, but 100 cities, 1,000 cities, 100,000 cities that need to hear the message. And they're waiting for you. Will you be a person that's been delivered to deliver the message? Let's pray. God, we bless, we worship, we exalt, we praise your most holy name. Lord, we thank you for this man that you, you delivered him. And Lord, we thank you for each soul that you deliver with the blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, I know you spoke to some people in here. And Lord, I pray that they'll make the right decision. I pray that you help them to be obedient. Help them to step out. Help them to start delivering the message if they've truly been delivered. And Lord, if they've not been delivered from their sins, that today would be their day of salvation. God, we all need your help. We all need your mercy. We all need your grace. We even need your help to spread and deliver the message of Jesus Christ. God, have your way and your will in this place. I pray in the name of my Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.